WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. The COVID-19 pandemic has changed the way that we can enjoy entertainment. There is currently no live theater to speak of, as social distancing and quarantining have taken over the landscape. Chicago actor Kevin Pollak has come up with an ingenious way to provide new weekly entertainment to people in the comfort of their own homes via YouTube. It's a series called Zooming the Movies. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ricky.
Kevin, can you tell our audience what exactly is Zooming the Movies?
Zooming the Movies is this weekly series that I came up with on Zoom, where I present a different movie script every week, and we present it like a table read with a bunch of actors, friends of mine, and professional actors across the country. And we do this every week, and we have a blast doing it.
And what sparked the idea for Zooming the Movies?
I wanted to do something different. You know, I noticed when the pandemic started, everyone was doing readings of plays on Zoom, like table reads. And I thought, well, I think movies would probably be cooler so people can act out their favorite roles in films. And I started with a couple, and it sort of blew up quickly through the whole pandemic, and more people wanted to be interested. And then celebrities started wanting to get involved too. So it's grown to be something really special.
Very exciting. Now, from the time you had the initial idea to do Zooming the Movies, how long did it take for you to actually bring it to fruition?
It took about a week to put together. And, I send the actors the script in advance during the week. And you just set up a Zoom meeting. It's a lot simpler than what people expect.
And what was the first movie script that you did this virtual table read of?
Oh, God. Superbad.
Superbad. What made you choose that one?
I just wanted a stupid comedy with my friends just to try it out and see if it works. And we seemed to love it. And then we tried to go in a different direction and did The Breakfast Club after that, and kind of built off of that and start doing more classic films and whatnot.
And did it turn out like you expected? Was this how you expected things to be?
Yeah. I mean, in reality, film scripts read like play scripts. You know, there's stage directions and each actor's playing a different role. But there's a lot more stage direction in movie scripts because you're used to watching them on a screen. So, and there's more action than there is. But, you know, sometimes we just scrap a lot of it and just read it like a play.
And so is there somebody reading the stage directions to make it make sense to the audience?
Yes.
Okay. And now, what did you learn from your first couple outings of Superbad and Breakfast Club? What did you learn from those initial adventures?
I think that you have to be paying attention, first of all. Everyone at home has some different way of viewing things, whether it be on their phone or laptop or computer. So I've had actors read from their phones while their Zoom is open on their laptop. So, that's one thing it's been different for every different, film we've done.
And was it always intended to be a weekly series?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted something to keep people entertained every week. I figure Saturday nights were always, stay at home, and, people are staying at home anyway, but a Saturday night movie. But we'll act it out, or, there's so many people that want to be involved, it seemed to work on Saturday nights. People loved it, and really, we had a blast doing them. that we just wanted to keep doing more, and we thought, well, this could go past the pandemic, because when theater's back up and running, this is a different form of theater in its own way, where you wouldn't be able to normally do this on stage. As a play, you can when it's all back up and running.
Okay. Now, some of the other movie scripts you've Zoomed include The Breakfast Club, as we said, and Spinal Tap, Dead Poets mm-hmm. Society, Forrest Gump. What do you look for when you're selecting a script?
I look for something that has a lot of dialogue. I like when it's very dialogue-driven, where there's not as much action, not as much stage direction, where it can keep the vibe and keeping it fluid throughout the film. Because the dialogue is really what's important. And there are a lot of scripts out there that don't have as much dialogue. You know, as I said, people are used to seeing these on a screen. So, yeah, it varies. It varies, like Forrest Gump, per se. It's a long film, but there's a ton of dialogue in that because it's a narrative film.
Do you find that it's hard to have a lot of characters? Is it simpler with a small ensemble like The Breakfast Club?
It is simpler. It's a lot simpler. And The Breakfast Club is a script that actually reads exactly like a play. Like, the dialogue is just constant. You know, that's what John Hughes is great at when he wrote his scripts to his films. But you have films like Robin Hood, Men in Tights that we've done. And it's completely different because you have a huge ensemble. But sometimes that's the most fun because you get to see everyone's reactions on the screen. And, everyone has their own way of bringing the character to life. We've had actors dress up. And we've had, props are brought in. Music is brought in. It's been a blast.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, you've done both comedy and drama scripts. Does one genre work any better than the other?
I think comedy always moves quicker, but sometimes there's great drama. We've done the film version of Glengarry Glen Ross, which is also a play. And I didn't want to do the play because there are some roles in the film that are not in the play. Same thing with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And, sometimes those read, being dramas, they have fantastic monologues that actors can use for auditions. And, I think of this as a good prep for actors to find good monologues and find their acting skills again to keep them up for when theater reopens.
And where do you find your scripts?
I find them all over the internet. you wouldn't believe how much I search every week. I'm always finding, scripts. And the thing is, scripts are made available to the public. There's different scripts that people have posted or movie companies have posted that are shooting scripts or drafts, early drafts. And I try to stay away from them because the drafts are way different than what people are used to.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all available online. You could easily do that and go on Zoom and do what I do. I checked with lawyers to cover myself, and it is fair use to everybody to use those scripts. So people can go ahead and do it if they want.
Fantastic. So legally you are free and clear, and there's no gray area.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Well, now based on your experience so far, what are some of the pitfalls that you've had to negotiate your way around when you're Zooming the movies?
Actors dropping out last minute.
Ooh.
And that's probably the one thing. Other than that, I really don't have any troubles, with doing this every week. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by doing, I cast like four or five a week.
Oh, wow.
So not mixing up the casts and whatnot can be difficult, but, I try to do my best.
And now you're casting up to four a week. How much lead time do you give your actors to look over the script?
About 3 days.
Okay. And what is the easiest part about Zooming the movies? We've talked about the pitfalls. What are the easiest parts?
The easiest part is doing the reading. That's, you know, when you have everybody in the room and you know, everybody's enjoying themselves. That's the easiest part of the reading. You know, all I do is I basically do an introductory email to the cast, and I send out the scripts. I lay out the cast list so people can know who's in it. And, yeah, I tell people if they want to advertise it on social media, they can, and to prep people. And, yeah, we do the movie, and then we upload it to YouTube and post the link in our group.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5. Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today we're visiting with Kevin Pollak, a highly respected Chicago actor who has created a weekly entertainment series on YouTube called Zoom in the Movies. Now, casting a table read, a virtual table read, is probably a pretty interesting undertaking. How do you go about casting?
Well, you know, it's usually based on actors I know or, you know, recommendations. I kind of have to look for everything. I don't audition actors. I've done it a few times where I've had them send in, like, video clips or something like that. But, you know, it's difficult sometimes to cast without having to audition people, and you don't know how it's turned out. Sometimes you have actors. Sometimes you have people who haven't acted before but wanted to do this. And sometimes you're surprised and sometimes you're not. So it's an interesting process. You know, when I cast celebrity friends, I already know how they are on film and TV. So it kind of works out better that way. But I've, you know, gotten to know a lot more actors around Chicago and around the country that, you know, haven't done that much acting, but, you know, once they come on this, it's something like you've never seen.
Now, this started as a project among friends, but it has really expanded. As you mentioned, you have celebrities who are interested now.
Yeah.
Can you enlighten us to some of the celebrities that you have coming up?
Sure. Yeah, we're gonna be doing a couple benefit readings for the Actors Fund in July, and I'm working with actors like Richard Kind, George Wendt, Stephen Tobolowsky, Chris Lemon, Jack Lemon's son. Oh God, if I keep listing names. I have Sandy Helberg, Stuart Penkin, Matthew Arkin, Richard Pryor Jr. We just had Robert Torti, who was in That Thing You Do on Forrest Gump. And we have, you know, some Broadway actors as well, but we keep getting more and more every day. And I'm working with a TV writer right now on a couple of private readings for him specifically. He worked on Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days, and he wrote a play script, and we're doing a private reading with a bunch of them and possibly Lucy Arnaz. And so, yeah, the list keeps building more and more and more and more every week.
Fantastic. And it's pretty much word of mouth that's making it build?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. On. Now, you mentioned that you have a couple benefits coming up for the Actors Fund. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wanted to put together something for the Actors Fund as a lot of people are, you know, doing live streams to benefit different organizations. I wanted to do something with these actors in LA and New York and wherever they're at to be able to be proud of something and, you know, where people can donate to a good cause. And the Actors Fund is around for, you know, not just actors, but everyone involved in the theater industry. So, and they need it right now. And being in Chicago, I know a lot of full-time actors, so that need this help, and I want to do I realize that this is helping people already through the pandemic, but I want to help people even more. So I started doing a couple benefits. So one of the films that we're doing is Some Like It Hot.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, so it's going to be mostly celebrity-filled with a couple gaps filled with some professional actors in Chicago. And, you know, we'll probably live stream it to Facebook. Usually I don't live stream these. Just because if edits need to be made, we can make them. But yeah, it'd be something new and different, but, you know, at the same time, benefiting a good cause.
All right. And now, what has been your favorite movie that you've Zoomed so far?
Oh, Forrest Gump.
Why?
By far.
Why?
that was fun. Like, I include myself in all the movies, you know, reading with my friends and whatnot. And that one was probably the most fun acting role I've done on Zoom since we started this thing. And that cast was brilliant. One of the best casts I worked with.
All right. Now, you mentioned doing Some Like It Hot. Is Chris Lemon going to be in that one?
No, he's not going to be. I wanted to defy expectations, just, you know, because he does sound and look like his dad. But, you know, he's older now. You know, those roles are supposed to be young. So I have a couple Broadway actors, Bart Chateau and Eric Peterson, who'll be playing the leads in that, along with a Chicago actress named Kayla Boy.
Now, in terms of public response, what have been your most successful movies that you've Zoomed?
Most successful? Probably The Breakfast Club and Emperor's New Groove, Back to the Future, Dead Poets Society, and Shrek. I'd probably say those are.
Okay. And now, once you record a show, do you have to edit it at all, or does it just go up as is?
Yes, definitely. Sometimes, you know, we edit it because, you know, there's screw-ups that can happen easily during a reading where you can't see, or it just comes out completely and there's dead silence. So sometimes, yeah, so sometimes we do need to edit those before we post them. And we do have a YouTube channel for them.
Okay. And how long does the editing process usually take?
Sometimes an hour, a day, a couple days, depends. Okay.
And how can people see these projects once you're done making a Zooming to the movies?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How can people see your projects?
Oh, well, if you're on Facebook, you can look up Zooming the Movies. It's a group on Facebook. And you could ask to join. I'll approve you all. And we have a YouTube channel.
Okay.
So Zoom in the Movies on YouTube. Sometimes you search, you know, the movies along with Zoom in the Movies, because YouTube doesn't pick it up all the time. But we're there.
All right. And you also are doing a spinoff called the TV series, in which you Zoom television scripts. How did that come about?
That's been an experiment. We have nothing posted yet. Only a couple things I've posted on my own Facebook wall. You know, there's TV scripts available too. So I thought, okay, if we already do the movies, let's try TV. And we tried doing that. We experimented. We did some episodes of Family Guy and Seinfeld and The Twilight Zone, Friends, Firefly, and it seem to work. I mean, they're short enough where normally a half-hour sitcom without commercials reads about 20 minutes as a table read. So they're fast and quick, and people love that. And, you know, it's been great. The Family Guy and Seinfeld probably work the best, and I'll be posting those eventually, and we'll have a YouTube channel for that as well, and probably another Facebook group.
When it comes to the TV series, which is a little different than the Zoom in the Movies, what it makes a good script for the TV series?
Again, dialogue-driven. I've done a couple like Firefly, and where it's just all action, and there's not enough dialogue, so it lags. Mm. And where Seinfeld, it moves so quick, all the dialogue is just on top of each other. That's the kind of things that you look for, so you can keep actors busy. And you could keep things moving. And that's Friends is another example. The dialogue is kind of driven through that. So those are the best kind of TV shows, or The West Wing, stuff like that.
What's your favorite TV episode that you've recorded?
It has to be Seinfeld, The Contest.
And what makes that one stand out?
Just every actor sounded exactly like the TV show, like exactly to a T. So,
And what are some of the titles you have coming up for Zoom in the Movies?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What are some of the titles that you have coming up in the future for Zoom in the Movies?
Oh, man, that's a hard question because I don't have things always already picked out. It's just literally on the fly. I'll make a decision the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they just come to me and I'll decide if I could find the script. If I have the script, I'll do it and I'll put it out there. Like, we're going to be doing The American President on July 5th. We're trying to figure out the other benefit reading we're going to be doing along with Some Like It Hot is MASH.
Oh,
the film.
Great.
And, but yeah, they, it's a hard question to answer because I literally come up with stuff on the fly every week. I know that we'll be doing Pirates of the Caribbean. Casino is another one I'd like to do. I like to find challenging pieces too.
Now, are there any scripts that some others have suggested to you that you just absolutely do not want to do?
No. Actually, nobody has suggested scripts that I didn't want to do. Because I'm pretty open to anything, but, you know, if I do read the script, and it's the dialogue is really the most important to me. If it's a show or a film that has dialogue completely through, with not much action going on, I'd absolutely take a stab at it.
All right. And now you've had the chance to work with a number of very talented actors putting Zoom in the Movies together. What makes a good table read actor?
Paying attention and bringing your A game. Because think of this like being on stage. This is going to go out to people regardless. So you're going to have an audience seeing your acting. So treat it like, you know, if you were brought into a musical or a play, and the first thing you do when you come to the read-through and you're, you know, reacting with the actors, that's what this is. Being respectful to everybody in the room and being able to pay attention and do your part.
Now, if someone wants to be considered for participating in an upcoming Zoom in the Movies, is there a way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, go on the Facebook group, Zoom in the Movies on Facebook, or, find me on Facebook and let me know.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. We have had a delightful time talking with Chicago actor Kevin Pollak about his innovative YouTube series, Zoom in the Movies. I hope you all check it out. And as we end today's program, Kevin is also a very accomplished singer and songwriter. And he has a new EP out, and he has a single called Holiday. Kevin, can you tell us a little bit about that single?
Sure. Holiday was released last year. It's my latest single, and it was the last single I recorded for my EP, The Newtown Sound. And, we're going to be shooting a music video for it in the next couple months. And there's some really cool surprises. If you keep up with me on social media, I'll be seeing a couple things happening with the song next week. But it's a song I wrote while I was in London on vacation, where people were confusing me saying holiday, and I got confused back saying, oh, are we on holiday? It was really a dumb moment for me. And then I was like, oh, it's vacation in London. I got it. So it took me a few minutes, and I started writing a song while I was there called Holiday. And I finished it on the flight back home and went into the studio to record it and turned it into a masterpiece. And it's been played on WXRT and making the rounds right now. So it's really starting to blow up. It just won a songwriting competition, the Music City Song Star competition in Nashville. So
fantastic. Well, we're going to give it a play here today. Thank you for joining us, Kevin, and have a great day.
You too.
Time. Let go of your worries, baby, while I make you mine. I'll be your tour guide while you step aside. So let's get together, baby, we'll go for a ride. We'll stay here.